Now, I mentioned earlier that the PGA is coming up this weekend. You know, all the players are on site pretty much at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. And I don't really think it impacts this PGA championship, but the official world golf rankings will impact the rest of the majors in golf going forward. The U.S. Open, the Open Championship, the Masters next year, because as we get further and further removed from upwards of 30 players leaving the PGA Tour and going to play on LIV Golf, where they get zero world rankings points, and they're just dropping like stones now through the rankings. Taylor Gooch won back-to-back weeks and fell in the official world golf rankings. Since those rankings are utilized as a measure for exemptions in majors, the majors are running the risk of damaging their own fields unless adjustments are made. As much as I have been not a proponent of LIV Golf, I do think that if the majors want to have the best possible fields, they have to make some adjustments. If they don't, I don't know if it helps the lawsuits LIV Golf lawsuit, but it is worth a conversation. For that, I bring in Five Clubs Golf, Gary Williams, who's on site at Rochester, New York, Oak Hill. Last time there, Jason Duffner was your winner over Henrik Stenson. How are you, my friend?
First of all, I'm very proud of you that you have divested yourself for even 8 minutes from Kane's talk round the clock, even while you're sleeping, talking in your sleep. I'm very proud of you.
We started the segment with Kane's talk.
Of course you did. And you'll end it somehow.
Yeah, we will. We absolutely will. Hey, look, for all I know, I don't know, Chesson Hadley's not in the field, I don't think, at the PGA. But Chesson has been a frequent guest here of Tom Dundon, the owner, and Justin Williams, the assistant general manager. So there's a lot going on here. We have a lot of dignitaries here.
Well, you, as you rightfully should. I mean, it's high times.
It is.
Very happy for everybody on that part of the state. My nephew has been going every game. My brother-in-law. It's great. Can't wait for this next series. It's interesting what you were saying. I'm looking forward to this conversation because, the nimble mind of all of these governing bodies and golf organizations is required right now because there's a lot going on.
So what is going to be the end result? And again, I don't think it really impacts this particular major. I think we have a representative PGA championship field of the best players in the world, the most deserving players. But going forward, especially for the U.S. Open, so many of those guys, like I'm not 100% sure that Taylor Gooch is exempt in. And clearly a two-time winner, if he were playing on the PGA Tour, and he's more than good enough to be a two-time winner, he'd be automatically in the U.S. Open field. So what does the RNA have to do to have representative fields for a major championship?
Well, first of all, I think that there's not a player who's not in this field that you'd be screaming up and down, why is he not in this field? There is some ambiguity to the back end of the way the PGA of America uses a combination of the world rankings and their own PGA championship point system. The USGA and the RNA is different because there's far less exemptions. We have local and sectional qualifying. There are very good players on the PGA Tour. You'd be like, what? They're not in the U.S. Open field? No. They have to go through sectional qualifying. But what you're getting at is when you're getting now to, 40 to 50 or 50 to 60 in the official World Golf rankings, and you're looking at players that are very good players who, as you just pointed out, their world rankings have been plummeting because they're not accruing points. Now, one thing, let me make it pretty clear. If these guys didn't know that there was not going to be world ranking points for the first year, whether they were playing 54 holes or 154 holes, that's on them. There's not a tour that's been created that didn't have to go through a gestation period, regardless of how much it looks like there is. There's complicity between all these organizations because they are part of the body that makes up the official World Golf Ranking system. I think the USGA and the RNA are going to be fine, but I do believe going into 24, we're going to see a couple things happen. There's going to be an adjustment made to the World Golf Ranking because there, I believe by 24, there will be an algorithm that will include, to whatever degree, the merits of winning and performing well on LIV. I think that they're going to get points. Now, what they're going to get, they're not going to get what the PGA Tour has. One, their fields are not deep enough, not only in terms of good players, but also field size.
Right.
They're about 48-man fields.
Yeah.
We're talking about 54-hole events. So there's going to be, they're going to scream bloody murder, which, again, I take all of that with a grain of salt. I do think they will start getting points in 24, and I also believe that all of these organizations need to make an adjustment. It should not be a two-year system. That's too long of a window. It needs to either be 18 months or 1 year. 2 years is too long.
I agree with that completely because you can. It takes a long time to fall out if you basically go on, sharpness sabbatical. Like Jason Day went 5 years without winning and really had completely fallen off the face of the earth. And by the way, one of the best stories in golf is Agreed. Jason Day's resurgence, not just winning last week, but if I'm not mistaken, was that his eighth or ninth top 10 in this particular season?
His seventh of the season. This is somebody who, like you said, we're talking about just over 5 years without winning. And he still remained in the top 200 in the world. And you can say, well, God, that's a long, that's a precipitous fall. It is. But again, he was still at his low point, 175 for the last year, hovering around 100. And now he's up to 20th in the world. I agree with you. It's one of the best stories in golf.
I want to get back to the World Golf Ranking. If they didn't know, they had to know that they weren't going to be getting points. But my guess is that they were told they would always be allowed to play on the PGA Tour because the person, meaning Greg Norman, who sold them on the tour, told them there's no way they could keep you out. And I've never talked about, the source of the money as a negative for the tour. That is a fair comment if people want to make it. I'm not going to argue that that's not a reason to dislike LIV. But my feeling always has been is that it was sold incorrectly by Greg Norman. It was never going to be additive. They were always trying to destroy the PGA Tour or damage it to the point where they would be the feature tour because they would have all the money and the best players. And lo and behold, most of the best players decided to stay. I think they were basically duped by Norman.
If they were duped by Norman, again, I put it back on them. All it would take for them to do is to read the language in one section of a contract they have to sign annually as a member of the PGA Tour. You cannot play in another event sanctioned by another tour anywhere in North America. These exemptions they were receiving for the DP/formerly European Tour were outside of North America.
Right.
All these players knew that you cannot compete on a tour that is within your own region of the world. They knew that. They signed this contract on an annual basis. And again, their independent contract status, which is, I think, is very semantical in nature.
Yes.
They're a member of the tour. There are regulations that they must abide by. And if those guys thought that they were just going to be greenlit into PGA Tour events while simultaneously competing with a disruptive tour, which, as you pointed out, they didn't want to be additive. They embraced the disruptor role that they took on when they created themselves. So again, if they were duped, they were duped either by themselves, by Norman to some degree, and even by their own representation, who they all know that once they did that, they were going to be persona non grata on the PGA Tour.
Gary Williams, before we have to say goodbye, and I have to go back and talk about the Carolina Hurricanes,
yes, you do.
And and why wouldn't we? Dustin Johnson won last week. Brooks Koepka won the week before the Masters. He obviously did not win, and we can debate all day long whether or not he ran out of gas after 54 holes. That was the obvious joke sitting there, but I think we kind of saw that Brooks had not putted well at all, and ultimately he was going to have to continue ball striking at a high level to keep himself in it. He couldn't do that. Do you make DJ a favorite this week at Rochester?
I put him among the players who I think can win. I would also put Koepka among the players that can win. And if people want to look back on 2013 and the handful of players who were in the field that week and say, well, they played well that week, I don't know how much that's going to matter. The golf course is drastically different than then. But I will say that Adam Scott has had two good weeks, finished in the top five, and Jason Day finished in a tie for eighth, and he just won a golf tournament. But Eastern tree-lined American Parkland-style golf courses where flying it in 52-degree temperatures, which will be the high point on Wednesday. I will have four layers of four-ply cashmere on Thursday morning because it's going to be in the high 30s. He absolutely can win this golf tournament.
Shouts to Peter Millar.
Correct, sir. Raleigh
Bass. Absolutely. Gary Williams, you're the man. I appreciate your time. Five Clubs Golf. Go check it out. I'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Gary Williams here. Four-ply cashmere. Look, that just sounds comfortable to me. Four-ply cashmere.